Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good afternoon. This is the Cop Shop, and I'm Chief Steve Hebby. This week, I'm joined by Captain Kyle Dowdy. Our regular stand-in, PIO Nicole Brown, is off with a family emergency, so we have our thoughts today. But Kyle, you've been on this show at least once before.
Yeah, a couple times.
And you're hardly a shy person, so.
No, depends who you talk to.
But actually, yeah, I can't find one that thinks you're a shy person.
I can't either. So
we figured Kyle will spruce this up a little bit. It's the last show that we'll do here in November. And so it's coming up on the holidays and big times. We start with our Black Friday and shopping detail that we do every year. Unlike California, we actually do aggressively target shoplifters and try and make arrests. And so what are we doing this year, Kyle?
Yeah, so you alluded to the California connection with that, you know, going on in San Francisco. That was crazy. Hopefully that'll never happen here, but yeah, we're gonna have multiple officers out there enforcing all kinds of laws and ordinances, but we're really gonna be focusing on shoplifting. You know, it's Black Friday, all the shopping season is now started, so we're going to be heavily concentrated around the business districts. So you'll see extra patrols out, you'll see people in the stores, extra police officers in the stores, as well as extra police units driving around town. Like I said, we'll be enforcing everything, but we'll be focusing mainly on shoplifting.
And this is something we've done, well, every year that I've been here, but I think the FPD was doing it for years before I got here.
Yeah, probably 20 years you've probably been doing it.
Yeah. So it's something I think most of our citizens are aware of. Hopefully the citizens that would think about stealing are aware of it and decide not to do that is kind of the goal of it.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, it's been a difficult probably year and a half, we'll say 2 years rounded up. And I think some people are starting to emerge, you know, from the pandemic and maybe have a little extra spending cash. Maybe this Black Friday is going to be a lot more shopping intensive than the last one was. And so we just want to be cognizant of, you know, keep yourself and your belongings safe. Make sure you lock your cars when you're shopping. Make sure you hide all your valuables. Put things in the trunk that you don't want to be seen. If you're going to be parking for any extended period of time, obviously lock your doors. Don't be an easy target. Don't be an easy victim. Although we will be out there enforcing a bunch of stuff, we can't be everywhere all at once. So you being able to help us and being an extra set of eyes and ears for us definitely is going to help. So if you see something suspicious, you know, call in. You see people checking door handles in parking lots, things of that nature, give us a call, and hopefully you guys will be a force multiplier for us, and we'll be able to kind of cut down on some shopliftings and other crimes this year.
Autoburg is definitely a popular sport this time of year. So the captain's right, you know, hiding your belongings, but not leaving your purse, don't leave guns in the car. Those are things that the police department during the course of a year take a lot of reports on, a lot of theft from vehicles, but it's particularly bad during this time of year when people are actually hitting the stores more and they have valuables that they're leaving in there while they're going into the store.
And I'll say that to your home too. So, you know, lock your doors at home. Obviously, you know, there's going to be porch pirates out there this year. You're going to have your Amazon shopping that you're trying to get done for Black Friday. And you may be receiving packages and maybe you're not going to be there when those packages arrive. So just have a plan to have those packages either put into a safe place or maybe a trusted neighbor or friend or coworker or somebody can take those packages and put them out of view of the public, just so you don't become a victim of, you know, getting your own home, you know, vandalized or broken into, so people would be stealing stuff that you've purchased for Christmas this year.
Well, that is definitely on the radar for the FPD, and like the captain said, you know, we appreciate calls. If you see anything suspicious, call in. We have officers available. We'll come over. We'll figure out what's going on. If nothing's going on, it's not a big deal. then the person moves on, and we've just made sure that things are going right. But if something is going on, you know, you don't want to have thought, oh, I should have called the police afterwards. So we're out here. We're eager to have you call us, and we'll have extra officers deployed over the next couple of weeks to address that. Some of the other stuff going on, it's been busy nationally over the last couple of weeks. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Wisconsin was a fixation for many people on both sides of the issue across the country, and that wrapped up last week. He was acquitted on all charges in that case. And that was a tough one, Kyle, because, you know, on the one hand, I guess I thought both. I thought on the one hand he shouldn't have been there, and that's not a place for a 17-year-old with an AR-15. Then on the other hand, I thought, geez, hitting a guy with a gun with a skateboard as he's laying on the ground and then pointing a gun at him probably moves you towards self-defense.
And that's exactly where I'm at, too. Two excellent points. Should a 17-year-old be patrolling the streets of a riot, and for lack of a better word, as close as that kid's probably going to see to a war zone, you know, should you just unleash a 17-year-old with an AR-15? You know, that's debatable. But then again, so then when somebody comes into contact with him, should they be allowed to do whatever they want to him just because he's a 17-year-old with an AR? So it's unfortunate because events like that are completely avoidable. And, you know, if we could just somehow, some way, you know, make this clear distinction between peaceful demonstration and then the next step, which is what, you know, many last year took was the next step. And we are all about peaceful demonstration in this country. Our military is about it. Our government's about it. Our police department's about it. You're never going to see the Department of Police Department, you know, speak ill of people who are peacefully protesting. That's part of your constitutional rights. And then you take the next step, though, and then you start looting and you start rioting and you start causing damage to property and damage to people, which is what happened in this one. And then it just becomes a difficult situation for everyone to deal with. And, you know, fortunately, we haven't seen too many of those in Farmington, especially not in my tenure here. And hopefully we continue to remain calm in this area, in this county, and demonstrate peacefully and then get our points across without getting violent.
Well, and we did have some protests here last year in the summer, and I thought those were well conducted by the people involved. And they, at least in the biggest of them, they were communicative with us at the FPD. Partially, they were worried that something would happen to them, and they're not wrong. And so part of our mission as a police department is to preserve and protect their right to stand out and protest the government. Ironically, even protesting police abuse. But they're going to be protected by the police as they do it. And I was proud of the way our community handled it on both sides of the issue. There was protests on both sides. And in the end, it was all peaceful and people moved on. What you didn't see in Kenosha, unfortunately, was peaceful protesting. So, you know, the first question I asked is, should a 17-year-old be out there with an AR-15? I don't think so. But on the other hand, should people be out there burning and looting and vandalizing and then attacking other people? And absolutely they should not. So how we had a rough year and a half.
Oh, absolutely.
As a country. And, you know, we're a long way away from each other, which we've talked about on this show, and that's it's not conducive to anything that we stand for. You know, when we can't even talk to each other, we can't listen to each other's points, when we think the worst of everyone on the other side of the issue. You know, honestly, sometimes liberals are right. Sometimes conservatives are right. But we can't really bring ourselves to say that very often anymore.
Well, it's just become frustrating for me because, you know, it seems like this political divide has now turned into a social divide where you're right, we can't even talk to each other as neighbors, as friends, as peers, as coworkers. Everything's, you're either for me or you're against me.
Right.
No middle road, no common ground. And it seems like those that are, you know, moderates are maybe, you know, losing more and more favor because they're being accused from both sides of not taking a stand, right, not being vocal in support of one side or the other. And honestly, I mean, I'm not really a centrist, but I'm not far from it. And I don't necessarily think that, exactly like you said, that everybody's wrong every time or everybody's right every time. And that's kind of where we're getting to more and more is I'm right and you're wrong versus like, hey, maybe we're both a little bit right. We've just lost that sense of cooperation and communication, and it's now just become shouting and violence.
Well, and I definitely am a centrist when we're in uniform.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
the police
no
department
doubt
represents
yeah.
all our citizens.
Yep.
And so when you're talking, you're exactly right. People on both sides of these issues want us to take their side. And that is not the role of the police department. And it puts us in a miserable spot where we are losing. We have people on all sides unhappy because we're taking the middle ground. So on the masks, which is, you know, COVID continues to plague us. I participated in a forum with the hospital recently, and you know, I was reading a few of the comments, and one of them was, you know, my duty as a police chief is to enforce the Constitution, and you know, that's always a statement that's loaded, and it almost always means protect the Constitution by defending what I want you to defend.
Yeah, your version of the Constitution.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so from my perspective as a police chief, we do enforce the law, whatever the law is, and that's passed by the legislature, and then what the rulings are by the court. And so far, you have not had a court in New Mexico that has ruled that the governor's mask mandate is has gone too far. Now, we'll see on the national level with the testing mandate whether or not the Biden administration's new rules for coming through OSHA is going to be constitutional or not. And there is a pause on those. But not in New Mexico right now. We are supposed to be wearing masks. So enforcing the Constitution, in my mind, is we'd be enforcing the laws that the legislature passed and that the courts have ruled on. But that's not what people want us to do.
No. And you know, the beautiful thing about the Constitution is it's such a live, open document. I mean, it's being ratified and amended all the time. So if you're talking about the Constitution in the strict sense of the word, I mean, we're not necessarily going to only enforce things that were enacted, you know, in 1780. There's been, you know, drastic changes in society since then.
Masks are one of them.
Masks are one of them. Technology is one of them.
Yeah.
Right? You know, search warrants for cell phones, the founding fathers didn't have any idea about those and they didn't need to. So, you know, the strict constitutionalists, well, I can understand and appreciate their point. We've evolved as a society, especially as a nation. And now you're dealing with things such as masks, which the founding fathers never had to deal with. So should we enforce the mandate? Absolutely, because it's the law. Once it stopped being the law, should we stop enforcing it? Absolutely, because it's not the law. So this view that we're the police for everyone sometimes will translate into the, you're my police. You're the police for me, which isn't necessarily the case because there's so many different opinions on the public health orders, for instance,
right,
that you can't really, as a, you know, maybe a conscientious objector to the masks, you can't really say we shouldn't be enforcing the masks. What you're really saying is just don't enforce it on me, which you don't really care if somebody else is not wearing their mask, and just don't write me a citation or don't target me for any kind of, you know, action by the police. But like I said, I can appreciate that. And I don't love, you know, going out there and, you know, talking about masks with people who aren't wearing masks. And I don't particularly take joy in talking to people who are wearing masks about other people that aren't wearing masks.
No.
So yes, you can point them out to me and say, well, that guy's not wearing a mask. What are you going to do about it?
Right.
Well, that's tougher for the police. There's things we can do about it. And then there's things that you want us to do that maybe we can't do.
Well, and you want us to do it on this issue at this moment. But over-enforcement by the police over the last year and a half seems to be a constant subject of criticism for the police. But now there's some great enthusiasm to really have us go out there and aggressively enforce the governor's mandate. You know, I think the best, and I think really the PD has done a good job of avoiding controversy. As a community, we have done a good job of wearing our masks, and our officers do wear their PPE when they're out on call still. But somewhere, you know, now you're getting the other side, the pro mask mandate and the pro vaccination people that are becoming more aggressive, right? And so we'll see how the courts rule on this that you either have to be tested every week or you have to be vaccinated, one or the other. And I see the comments too that expect the police department is going to somehow aggressively force people to get vaccines through the government, and we'll see what the courts rule. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I can't see my officers are going to be holding people down so that somebody else can jab a needle in them. You know, we're going to have to come to something a little more moderate as a response.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the last year and a half, you know, people have been vocally in opposition to what the police have been doing, and honestly, in a lot of places, rightfully so.
Sure.
We have made a lot of mistakes throughout our history as a profession, no doubt about it. That would be the next mistake we did if we're forcefully holding people down while they're being, you know, forced to be vaccinated, right? It's my body, my choice until it's, you know, not my body, my choice, you know, according to some
right.
law or regulation. And, you know, I'm vaccinated. I have no problem saying I'm vaccinated. I wear masks a mask out. I have a child who was immunocompromised, so I understand people's concern about that, but that's still a personal choice for me. I have members in my family, in my household that, you know, weren't vaccinated. And it's not an issue for me of, you know, is this a political question, right? The issue for me is it a personal choice based on your healthcare provider and your discussion about what's right for your family and yourself. So it shouldn't be a political issue.
No, I'll say this too. This Delta variant is, at least anecdotally in my experience, is far more contagious. So the police department definitely has had more officers in the last 3 or 4 months test positive for COVID than we did the first year and a half that this thing was running. So officers are testing positive for it, whether they're vaccinated or not. We're getting them testing positive. Also, I write condolence cards, and I talked about this on the forum. I write condolence cards for citizens in our community, but also for police officers that die in the line of duty, something that their families have, that their sacrifice isn't forgotten. And the number that I've done for COVID is way up. And more ominously, the number that are for people in their 40s and 50s. So officers that, you know, the first variant we were hearing, it was all they had some sort of underlying medical condition. Now they're getting younger. It's many more than it was the first go round, and it's hard to deny those facts. So I am vaccinated too. I know that I'm going to die at some point in life. I'm not in a hurry to have that happen, and I can tell you I don't want it to be from COVID. So I did get vaccinated.
And, you know, and then they're dealing with this surge in the schools right now where, you know, you're probably, if you're listening to this and you're a school teacher or a school employee, you're feeling our frustration with younger kids are getting it now. And it is becoming more, I don't know about contagious, but it's definitely the side effects are becoming more. There's a lot more long-term side effects that I'm hearing about. And again, that's anecdotally. I'm not a medical professional by any stretch of the imagination, but Kids are getting it. Younger people are getting it, and the effects are lasting longer. And it just should not be a political issue. And I think we politicize it so much right now. It's to the point of, again, you're either with us or you're against us. You can't be on, you know, this side of the political specter and have a vaccine, and you can't be on this other side, you know, and not be vaccinated.
And you've actually seen some actual rioting and violent rioting in Europe over this very issue.
Unbelievable.
And we start putting people into camps of, you know, vaccinated and unvaccinated. And it's been a rough year and a half. That said, you know, let's transition to something else that's contagious, and that's poor football play.
Poor football, yeah. So the Bills and the Packers, I'm assuming, is what we're talking about?
Well, not the Packers.
Yeah, the Packers.
Packers are 8-3 and suffered a wave of injuries. But how are the Bills doing, Scott?
Can we talk about something else?
Who did they play yesterday?
I forget that. On Sunday? Let's see.
Sunday,
Boy, I don't even know. It was just so
the Colts.
Awful.
Oh, they did play the
Colts. Yeah. Yes.
Colts are not a bad team.
No.
But
as a long-suffering Bills fan, here we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I can say.
I'm afraid the Packers have had two healthy years, and we made the NFC Championship game two years in a row. And this year, although we still have a lot of talent, we've had a number of significant injuries. It was a good game Sunday against the Vikings, but it did not end well. And, you know, I'm not a fan of purple ever, and I am particularly not a fan of purple this week. So,
oh, the Cardinals are doing good, and they're not healthy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw that out.
Really? How are the Falcons?
The Falcons have had better days.
Oh, really?
Better days.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yeah, there you go. So, you know, when we choose a winning team, to, you know, then it makes it easy to always be a winner.
I think it's
kind of Kyle's style.
Although my sons are the second best team in the NBA. Behind the Warriors.
They are. The second best behind the who?
The Warriors.
The reigning, defending national champion, Milwaukee Bucks.
No, they're not. Oh. The Bucks are terrible this year.
Are the Bucks the defending champ?
Oh.
They're the defending champ.
Oh.
The belt is there.
So it was, you know, we went up 2-0, and then we got maybe a little sidetracked and distracted.
The flush was the 4-0 that followed.
And then we lost 4 in a row.
Baby. Bucks and six.
The Suns and 4 was a lot better. I like that channel out
really?
More against the Nuggets.
Well, don't get to hear it anymore.
No, not anymore. We're on an 11-game winning streak, though. Or, you know, actually, maybe it's 12 or 13.
No.
It's at least 11.
paying the refs doesn't really count as winning, but that's just beside the point.
Good luck this year, though.
Yes, we have more serious news, but it also correlates in with our Christmas parade, which is coming up next week. I'll be in it. I think, Scott, you're the major celeb.
One of the announcers, just one in a cog of... Really? Plenty, yes.
Just not the man, just
no.
a man.
It's a team effort, Chief.
Well, there.
Team effort, yes.
Actually, hardly the truth. Scott is, stands as a celeb by himself. But in Wisconsin, again, where I'm from, and not far from Kenosha, Waukesha had an extreme tragedy at their Christmas parade.
You know, yeah, and so you can have multiple layers of security, which it looked like they had there too, barricades, as well as police officers. And unfortunately, for whatever reason, that didn't stop what occurred. And you can never really, you know, ultimately stop everything. Bad people are going to do bad things, and unfortunately, you can't stop them every time. But I just want to let the community know that there's definitely layers of protection that we have every parade we do. Every event like that, we are going to have the barricades out. We do have police officers, both in uniform, in units and on foot. Everyone will be in uniform. But we'll have vehicles, you know, hopefully protecting the people as well as officers walking the parade routes too. And that's always difficult with the public who doesn't necessarily, understand what we're doing to keep them safe. You believe we're keeping you safe. You're hoping we're keeping you safe, but you don't get to see all the action plans we're creating, all of the incident briefings we're doing, all the stuff we do behind the scenes to make sure you guys are safe. Just please, you know, continue to give us the benefit of the doubt and know that we're doing everything we can to keep you guys safe, even though maybe you don't hear about it as much. But we're definitely working hard behind the scenes to keep
honestly,
safe.
The best security is the ones you don't hear about, because that means it really wasn't stressed. But this was a car that drove through a parade, killed, I think last time I saw, like 5 people and 40-some were injured. But it also plays to something that FPD has done now for several years, just had the last 2 years, and that's our support of the Shiprock parade. Mm-hmm. So the Shiprock Fair is a major event. When they have their parade, we have FPD officers that go out there and participate, support the Navajo Police Department, which is stressed very thin. During that event, and I've long said, look, you know, this is the major issue or event in the Four Corners area. They bring out just literally thousands and thousands of people that are just on the road, sitting up watching or on the road actually in the parade. And if something happened out there, FPD would be scrambling to get out there. So if we can provide on the front end some additional security like you're talking about to help cut down on a possible tragedy, and just whether it's a terrorist incident, which we've seen through the years, or it's a drunk driver or somebody who just gets lost and they drive through the parade, they're going to kill dozens of people. And so FPD does participate in that Shiprock Fair, and that's the biggest reason right there is it is a major event in the Four Corners area. There are a lot of people who are attending. We want to stay safe and have fun, but it takes protection behind the scenes, and that's what the FPD does.
And it's difficult on parades because part of a successful parade is the interaction between the community right. and the people in the parade. So, you know, more barricades and more distance is obviously better for the police department. That makes us feel better and safer. But then you lose that interaction of the community to the floats, which is, you know, a main goal of the parade organizers. So it's just one of those give and takes, kind of got to weigh security versus, you know, what's an acceptable amount of risk to make the parade, you know, enjoyable for everybody involved.
You know, we've seen that same sort of debate too, security versus accessibility for presidents with their Secret Service, right? And we've had some tragedies because really in the United States, the president is reasonably accessible, especially during election years. But you're trying to balance that, right, between safe and yet accessible. And that is a tough road to walk sometimes. Well, that's really it for us. We're glad you tuned in. We hope that you had a great Thanksgiving, and we hope that you're getting ready for a great Christmas. This is a fantastic time of year. You know, we're very proud to be here with you in Farmington and serving you, and we hope that you're safe and that your family's safe. Have a great day. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.